I preached in. And I can't remember what I preached on, Kathleen. You can probably remember it. It's probably scarred in your... Well, you can't remember. Why can you not remember? Obviously, it wasn't that good. I've had a bit of practice since then. So I'd like to encourage you. Is it all right? Are you up for being encouraged? Jim, you can nod. Good. So if you've got a Bible handy, if you can turn to Ephesians chapter 1. My old pastor used to say, you're not supposed to have favourite scriptures. But I have to tell you that Ephesians chapter 1 is one of my favourite scriptures. And I'm not going to apologise that I'm going to read all of Ephesians chapter 1, because as Billy Graham said, I've learnt one thing in my ministry. When I started out, I would read a little bit from the Word of God, and I would preach for a long time, and a few people would get saved. But he said, as I went on, I realized that the more scripture I read, and the less I preached, the more people became Christians. So here we go. Less I say, the more God says, it's good, isn't it? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace, that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Wow. I could preach for years on Ephesians chapter 1, but I'm just picked out three words that I want to talk about tonight. And the first one is chosen. God has handpicked each one of us before the universe was created. Now, I don't know how many of you are into election, and I don't know how many of you are into free will, but in a way, that doesn't matter, because I believe in both. I believe that we are elected by God, we are chosen by God, and we also have free will to choose to receive Christ. Yes, I have a very confusing mind. But the fact is, whether I've been chosen by the creator of the universe as 1 in 100, 1 in 1 million, or 1 in 7 billion, or however many people there have been alive since Adam and Eve walked on the earth, it really doesn't matter to me. The God of the universe has chosen me. and he's chosen you too. And you can look into your hearts and you can look into your past and you can see all the, well, we call it up north where I come from in Bolton, grot, all the stuff, the sin that really should prevent God from even taking a passing glance at me. And I just think the Lord God Almighty chose me. That's amazing. I want you to know tonight you've been chosen. It's not just an accident that you've become a Christian. You've been hand-picked by God. God has looked down. He has not considered your CV. He has not considered your fruitfulness. He has not considered your ability, your skills. He has looked down on you and gone, yep, he's the one, she's the one for me. So you've been chosen. That should cheer you up. Next thing, you've been redeemed. Now, this might seem, if you've been a Christian for a while, this might, what's he talking about redemption for? I understand redemption, Phil. Perhaps you don't. Perhaps you do and perhaps you don't. But it's always good to revisit it. You have been bought back. That's what redemption means. It doesn't mean you've gone and bought something that was never yours. No, it means you have repurchased that which was started off being yours in the first place. And God has not only seen fit to choose you, he has seen fit to pay the ultimate price of his one and only son to buy you back. From, I don't know how many products a Tesco Extra has. I mean, it's a big store or a big Asda or a big Sainsbury's. Other supermarkets are available. But God's kind of gone through the supermarket and gone, there's the one. I'll have that one. Chosen. But Lord, that was yours in the beginning. You could go to the manager of the store and say, this was mine in the beginning. There's my handprint on it. There's my maker's label. No, he doesn't. He buys it back. Because we were lost to sin. And redemption, of course, isn't about buying us back that we may just enjoy heaven. Please hear me. We do enjoy heaven. We do enjoy eternal conscious bliss. But that is only a secondary feature to the fact that we have a restored relationship with God the Father. Heaven, as nice as it is and as pleasant as it will be, and it will be absolutely pleasant because there's no crying, no tears, no sorrow, only conscious, eternal conscious bliss. It's going to be fantastic. But that comes secondary to a restored relationship with God the Father. We have been redeemed. Redeemed by, as the law of Moses said, the shedding of blood. Jesus shed blood on the cross, bought you back. Jesus paid the ultimate price. And the third thing I want to pick up on, if I may, the third word after chosen, redeemed, is power. Verses 18 to 20 talk about the incomparably great power. There's nothing else like it. The power that works in you and me as a Christian is like the same power that raised Christ from the dead. Now, that word like is a funny old word because we use it, we were talking about sherry before, don't ask. QC is like Sandemans is like Bristol cream. And somebody said, oh, no, QC is much cheaper and it's not like it at all. Well, they're all sherries, but they're not all equal. And the power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power that works in us. It's the Holy Spirit. He doesn't change. And I don't know what exactly happened in the tomb on Resurrection Day. I don't believe there's a Schrodinger's urine to prove that it happened. It did happen. But whatever power it was beyond description. So I won't even try and describe it. However, I will say this, that same power that raised Christ from the dead is at work in all those that have been called and all those that have been redeemed. So you've been chosen, bought back and empowered. I became a Christian, and I did try to be a good person. I mean, I really did work at it. One time I decided that I was going to be serious, because a lot of people I met in churches were really serious people. So I decided I was going to be serious. It nearly killed me. I couldn't be serious to save my life, really. I just have that kind of personality that some people call irritating and other people call humorous. But I really did try and be serious. And it, for 3 weeks, I managed it, until in the end, I just became so miserable that I had to just ditch that and say, Lord, what is it that I'm missing? And he said, you're missing the resurrection power. What you need is the resurrection power in your life. Phil, you've been chosen, you've been redeemed, and now you need the power. You can't do this Christian life on your own. And the power that raised Jesus from the dead didn't just raise a dead body. It exalted Jesus, I love this, to the right hand of the Father in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And then if that isn't enough, and I do love Paul when he waxes lyrical like this in his letters, he says, and God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. And that's fantastic. Jesus, you have been exalted to the highest place, King of kings and Lord of lords. But Christian friend, that power that did all that is the same power that can be at work in us, that wants to be in work in us. So do you want the victorious Christian life? I used to be in an Assemblies of God church, and there's some really old Pentecostal folk in the Assemblies of God church, and they would always be going on about, Phil, you need to live a victorious Christian life. And I used to feel quite weighed down by that, because I used to think that the victorious Christian life was something I had to aspire to. But the truth is, I don't. It's not anything that I have to work at. Even though I have to work out my salvation with fear and trembling, the victorious Christian life comes because I've been empowered to do it by the Holy Ghost. That incomparably great power is available to all Christians. We just have to let go of the reins that I used to hold on quite tightly to. Let go, the elders always used to say, and let God. So what should we do? Well, first of all, we need to repent and believe if we haven't done already, understanding that God has chosen each one of us individually and personally, and then just seek God. Because Paul says in verse 18 that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened. That's a good word, enlightened. I've got an LED lamp on me. It's a bit too bright at the minute, but I left the remote control for it at church, so I can't turn it down. But we need to be enlightened. We need to have the light of the glory of God shining upon us, that we, like Moses, may reflect the glory that is God's and God's alone. The eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That's the message of encouragement that I have for you tonight. You've been chosen, you've been redeemed, and God wants to empower you. Let me just pray for you. Heavenly Father, we just come